What a blessing to know that indeed salvation has been brought down. It is truly a joy and an honor to be here amongst you, brethren and visitors that are with us today. We thank you for being here. We hope and pray that you will continue to fellowship with us. And if you have any questions about anything regarding the Bible or what we will be studying, please don't go home with them. Be ready to ask them, and we will be more than ready and happy to study with you. We thank everyone here. As I said earlier in our Bible class, I'll repeat it. I have the honor, but also the responsibility to give you the well wishes and the greetings from our beloved brother, Eddie Rodriguez, and the brethren at the BCS Church of Christ at Bryan College Station. So receive those, brethren, and receive the holy kiss that was sent by our brethren over there in College Station. If you will please open your Bibles to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" She answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." Please bow with me in prayer. Our beloved Father and our Heavenly King, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we bow before thy mighty presence, and we give thee the honor, the praise, and all the glory, for only thou art worthy. We are truly blessed, Father, and we rejoice to know that thou have adopted us as thy children, that thou have given us your very best in the form of thy Son, thy only begotten Son, showing us, Father, once again, that thy love, Father, is always given to us in complete, wholly, not only in part. Father, as we now strive to continue to understand that design, Father, that thou have given us for a godly home, please be with us, Father, as we learn from this example of these godly people in the form of Ruth and Boaz, Father, that we may learn, Father, how it is that this, Father, is how we begin a relationship that should flourish, Father, in godliness before thy sight. Allow us, Father, to be able to meditate together, and that we, Father, may grow from one another, but more importantly, apply, Father, these lessons in our daily living for thy honor and for thy glory, but also, Father, for our mutual edification. Forgive us, Father, when we have fallen short. Forgive us when our faith has failed us. Forgive us when we have failed thee, Father. But grant us that strength to rise, Father, and grant us that meekness to acknowledge, but that wisdom to grow and to never fall again. We ask this not because we are worthy, but we do it in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We were studying the God's design for the godly home. And back in March, we had to take a quick break because of all of the circumstances that were taking place. But now we come back to our theme, and we come back to what we have been seeing. And as in the form of recap, remember that what we were seeing in that first quarter was this description of the godly mate. Toward the latter part of the quarter, we began to examine this subject with the example of Ruth and Boaz. Remember that Ruth had been married but had become widowed when her husband had died in her land of Moab. Her, being a faithful daughter and a faithful wife, chose to follow her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to her homeland. And we have been seeing how this has been providential, Because we've been able to observe how it is that God brought together these godly people. Remember that we saw in our Bible study in Malachi chapter 2 that the reason why our God wants us to remain faithful and not deal treacherously with the woman of our youth or the man of your youth is because He seeks godly offspring. And this indeed is true in the case of Ruth and Boaz. Because when we read at the end of the book in chapter 4, we see how Ruth and Boaz conceive a child by the name of Obed. Such a beautiful name. That child gives forth Jesse, and Jesse gives forth the greatest king Israel ever knew, David. So this, brethren, is what Malachi was saying. This is what Jehovah God was telling them there in Malachi, that this is what He seeks from a godly pairing. But in order for that godly pairing to take place, we have already been able to define what a godly husband and a godly wife is during that first quarter. And now we begin, or we commence, a little late, but we commence that second part, which is what our elders have entitled spousal responsibilities. In other words, this now begins to manifest in the fact that there is a responsibility that a wife has in her home, and there is a responsibility that a husband has in his home. But that's for the third quarter. Because when we talk about spousal responsibilities, we're not talking about parents. We're talking about the responsibility of a husband to his wife. We're talking about the responsibility of a wife to her husband. If you will, the way of understanding this is pre-children. But we have to understand, brethren, that although we are reading here where both Ruth and Boaz had not yet joined in marriage, the responsibility is clearly shown in their example before they got married. And this is why we've titled our lesson this morning, A Wise Selection. You see, we have to understand, brethren, that it takes a person to understand the responsibility before they commit to that responsibility. And this is one of the things that we will see later tonight. Because if you will, what we are going to see this morning is what God has taught us as to how marriage is supposed to be led to and how the world has led it astray from this pattern, which is why we have so much corruption when it comes to marriage. If we were to follow this pattern, as we are seeing in the form of Ruth and Boaz, we will then indeed lead to godly offspring. And notice the message that the Bible is teaching us here. Because that godly offspring continued all the way to the greatest man to ever have born, Jesus of Nazareth. So you see, brethren, when Hebrews chapter 13 teaches us that marriage is honorable with the bed undefiled, well, indeed, these two subjects teach us that there is a great responsibility before, during, and after. We cannot expect to treat marriage as a, quote, on-the-job training. And again, we're going to see how tonight that is a lot of what the world does. A lot of people enter marriage simply because of the ethos, the emotional reasons. But notice, brethren, as we now bring our attention back to the example of Ruth and Boaz, how it is that this is not so with this godly pairing. We observe, brethren, in chapter 3, verse 6, that she had received wise and sound counsel from her mother-in-law. We see that her mother-in-law had been guiding her through all of this. But notice the timing of it. Observe how it is that she did not rush. Although in chapter 2 it ends by Naomi revealing to Ruth that this man was their kinsman, that he was near kin, that he was in a position to be able to practice the Levirate law. And if you remember what the Levirate law it means, or it was simply a law that was used to redeem a widow by the nearest kinsman if there was no children involved. There was a double purpose to this law. One of them was so that the widow then would not lose her property. Remember that in the book of Ruth, we see that Naomi had to sell those lands. They were in poverty. They needed to buy food. They needed to survive. So she had to do away with her land. But here is Boaz, a man who was able in a position where he could go and repurchase those lands so that he can redeem the property that belonged to Ruth's deceased husband. But the other reason was also so that the descendancy, the genealogy of the husband would never be lost. It was to preserve family names, family trees. Remember that the older brother, if he were to get married and he were to pass away, the younger brother was then had the responsibility to take that wife and to marry her, and then the first son born to their marriage would be given the name. That is to say, he would be considered the firstborn of the deceased so that his lineage can continue on. So there was a necessity here, wasn't there? There was a need. And in those times, a very important need. But observe that Ruth didn't immediately claim it. Observe that Ruth did not claim or make that claim the moment she found out or realized that this man could redeem her and her mother-in-law. Remember, from chapter 2 to chapter 3, several months had passed. The harvest had taken place. This woman had been working in this man's fields this entire time. She could have helped herself or prevented herself from the calluses by simply making this claim. She would have been married and she would have been taken care of. But notice how this woman wasn't going to marry a man just because he had something to offer her. Just because there was something that she required of him. Just because there was something that he could do for her. See, when we begin to talk about spousal responsibilities, the responsibility begins in the selection. We need to be responsible in what and how we approach marriage. We have to understand, brethren, that in here, in this passage, we see two people, one man to one woman, who were responsible in regards to this approach to marriage. And you see, brethren, what we see here is the path to building a fruitful, solid marriage, that it has its origins in a responsible selection. Turn to me with me to Proverbs 24, beginning at verse 26. Proverbs 24, beginning at verse 26. He who gives a right answer kisses the lips. Prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward, build your house. You see, what gives the lips a kiss is the right answer, the wise answer, the responsible answer. You see, when we talk about wisdom, wisdom and responsibility cannot be separated. Because what makes a person wise is their responsibility. A person who is responsible is a person who will take that knowledge that they have and use it when it is necessary to use. This is why when we read verse 27, it shows us an example of what the right answer is. It shows us how it is that it begins by preparing your outside work. You see, Ruth and Boaz were interested in one another. We see that there was an innocent love that was blossoming. But yet, even though this was the case, they did not go with it or through with it irresponsibly. They did things in a wise manner. They did things right. Observe the answer that was given by Boaz when Ruth makes a request in chapter 3, verse 11. Everyone knows, he said. Everyone knows that you are a virtuous woman. What is that telling us there? Why does Boaz bring this up? Why was it important for him to utter to Ruth that everyone had been watching them and that they knew that she was a virtuous woman? Because what he is telling her is, if we get married, everyone will approve. We will be an example. We will have that very steep bar to meet. Because they're watching us. They're watching us to see if we pair up or not. You see, brethren, to be a responsible husband or to be a responsible wife, it has to begin in what in our modern language is called the boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. And even more so when you are the fiancé, when you are betrothed to one another. It is in this period when you have to understand that you either understand and are committed to your responsibility, or you should not be getting married in the first place. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Notice the example, another example of a godly couple that the Bible shows us of one man to one woman who understood and respected the sanctity of marriage. Matthew chapter 1, beginning verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Did you see how they respected the sanctity of marriage? You see, many times we focus more on the fact that it was Jesus' birth that we're reading about, right? But notice what Matthew is showing. Notice the prophecy that he quotes. He's quoting the prophet Isaiah. And what is the specificity of the prophecy? That the woman that was going to bring forth the Savior of the world had to be pure. She had to be undefiled. She had to know no man. In other words, she was a virgin. But observe the just man Joseph. The reason that Mary could still be the vessel for the Savior of the world was because when they were already engaged, that's what betrothed means, they had not defiled the bed. Both Joseph and Mary had kept each other pure. Notice how they were responsible even before they were married. When Ruth went to Boaz, she uncovers his feet. But notice that she lays at his feet, not at his side. She doesn't crawl into his bed or his bedroll. She doesn't go and put her head upon his breast or lay her arm across him. This is why it's important, because what we see is that Ruth does not approach her future husband or the man that she has determined and has made the decision to want to marry as a husband by seducing him or by enticing him or by provoking him into some kind of illicit arousal. How many of you husbands would like for your wives to sleep at your feet? How many of your wives are ready to sleep at your husband's feet? But you're already married. That's why you would never do that, right? Because for you, it is authorized. For you, as a husband and wife, it has been sanctioned. But you earned that right. You've earned it by remaining pure. You see, brethren, when we read this scripture, notice that Joseph, when she is pregnant, okay, he didn't make a scandal of it. He protected her. He was going to do what was the right thing. He was going to follow the law. By putting her away, Joseph, because he was not aware that this was the Holy Spirit, remember that, he was going to follow what the law of Moses said. This is why in John chapter 8 we see the accusation laced at Christ. We are not children of fornication. You see, Joseph did not know what was going on. He wasn't aware. And therefore, because he is or was, the scripture tells us, a just man, he was going to follow what the law had told him. But notice his compassion. Notice his love for Mary. He was going to follow the law, but he was trying to do, or rather try to fulfill it in a way where she would not be shamed. He was trying to do it in a way where she would not be shunned and even stoned or accused of fornication. He wasn't going to put her out in public. He was using prudence because he loved her. Boaz did the same with Ruth. He didn't yell intruder. He did not call for security. He was startled, says scripture. He was startled. But when he found out who it was, notice the instructions that he gives her after their conversation. Stay until the morning. And then the following verse, we see that he does another action. He gives her a gift for Naomi, but this was also done so that no one would speak in ill manner of her. The responsibility was already taking place. They were already being responsible by preserving the sanctity of marriage, by not defiling the bed, by sticking to what God had designed. And this is why once they were married, Boaz and Ruth were able to be responsible spouses to one another. Because they were already protecting each other and they were already helping one another by keeping that bed undefiled. But we see, brethren, also that we are able to observe two people who understand the commitment they were about to make. Go now with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they do, that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore let your words be few, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams, and pay close attention to this, brethren, for in the multitude of dreams and many words there is also vanity. But fear God. How often do we hear that every girl has her dream wedding? Why don't we often hear that every girl has her dream ideal husband? She already knows what she wants. She already knows what she needs. But she also already knows how she's going to make him better. How often do we hear of a man who already knows what he wants for a wife? And even less, that he already knows how he's going to submit to her. Ephesians 5:21 cannot be ignored, but we'll get to that later. You see, spousal responsibility begins with our selection. Because when we're going to commit, we need to make sure that we know what we're committing to. Before we say, I do, we need to make sure that we did. That we did investigate. That we did verify. That we did confirm. Chapter 3, verse 10 of Ruth, we see that Boaz was excited. He was honored by the fact that Ruth was choosing him of the nearest kinsmen. He was overjoyed, and he shows why. He was old and compared to her age. He calls her beautiful, And he even talks about her virtue, her being a virtuous woman. But even though he was overjoyed, even though he was honored, notice that Boaz didn't immediately say yes. Notice that he wasn't rash in saying, "Yes, yes, I'll marry you, Ruth." No. "I understand what your request is, Ruth. And I do. Believe me, I do. But before me, there's someone else. There is a relative even closer than I am. And if he is willing to redeem you and marry you, then I cannot." Do you see what he's saying there? Do you understand what he is making? Why this shows how he's already being a responsible husband? He's protecting her. He's protecting her belongings. He's protecting her deceased husband. But he is also protecting her mother-in-law. Because if he did not follow that, if he did not stick to what the law of Moses said, he was actually going to make things worse for her. It would have been seen, brethren, as adultery. Because he was not yet the legitimate partner for her. He was overjoyed. He obviously wanted to marry Ruth. And she obviously wanted to marry him. But it didn't mean that they were the right pair. Not the perfect pair, because there is no such thing as a perfect pair. But they had to make sure that they were right for one another. They had to make sure that even before they got married, they could get married. This is what Ecclesiastes 5 is telling us in verse 7. "We're in the multitude of dreams and many words." Many times, brethren, we make the mistake that we are so enamored for the relationship and that all that is good and how it is going, that we don't stop to wonder and analyze if this is really the person that God chose for me. We focus more on the emotion. We focus more on that warmth. But we cannot ignore the truth behind the emotions as well. Boaz was wise because he was responsible. Ruth was wise because she was responsible in waiting. She did not nag Boaz. She did not challenge him. She did not oppress him. She did not force him to say yes. When he told her to wait, Ruth waited. She waited for the answer. She waited to see what happened. And guess what? If that closer relative would have been willing to marry her, then she would have married that closer relative, even though she wanted to marry Boaz. But she waited. She waited in the Lord, and she waited in Boaz. She didn't pressure him. She didn't argue with him. She trusted him. Oftentimes do we hear about shotgun weddings, right? We're going to get to that tonight. Because remember, in order to start understanding what a spousal responsibility is, we're defining a responsible spouse first. And this responsible spouse begins to be declared by Scripture in this stage before they're married. So we've seen how it is that they have to have two people who respect the sanctity of marriage, two people who are committed and understand the commitment that they're about to make. But then, as we just said, they need to know who they are in a relationship with. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, 21, right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Notice what Scripture tells us there. It says, "Submitting to one another in the fear of God." Question is he speaking to everyone as a church? Or is he about to speak to a husband and a wife? Well, if you read verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands." Drop down then to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Well, that shows us how they're going to submit to one another, doesn't it? When we talk about a responsibility, we're talking about that a husband and a wife have something that they need from one another, but also something that they need to give to each other. And here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it begins when the man is willing to submit his will to his wife, and the wife is willing to submit her will to the husband. Although the man is the head of the household, notice he has to submit by providing for her. He needs to submit by protecting her. He needs to submit by caring for her. Every time we hear the word submission, we want to apply it and make it seem like this is only applicable to the wife. But it begins by saying, no, no, no. Submit to one another. Because you are now one. If only the wife is to submit, that's two. That's not one. Because one lords over the other. That's how society wants to make it seem. But God says no. Because you are one, the only way you're going to remain as one, and you're going to stay and be permanently one, is by submitting to one another. Put aside your ego. Put aside your desires. Put aside everything that you did while you were single. Because you're single no more. Boaz and Ruth did the exact same thing. Think about the fact that Ruth had just lost her husband, right? And she was already putting aside the love of her life to remarry. Boaz was putting aside his own wish and his own heart's desire to protect her. And he moved quickly. He didn't wait. Naomi's words to Ruth became true. He's not going to sleep. He's not going to sleep until he solves this, Ruth. He was diligent. And he spoke to near kinsmen. But he put aside, he put on hold what his heart's desire was. Because she needed to be protected. They were responsible to one another. They were responsible with one another. So when we talk about spousal responsibilities, brethren, we have to keep in mind that it begins before marriage actually takes place. You know, I received the advice from Brother Blaine Coffey, who we know is an elder, the congregation where he gives. And I'll never forget those words, especially. Even on the day of the wedding, 5 minutes before you say I do, you don't have to say I do. If you're not sure, do the responsible thing and don't go through with it. Boy, those words were prophetic for me, weren't they? But it's the responsible thing to do. And if I want to be a responsible husband, my responsibility is to accept that, not coerce it. Because if she's not ready, she's not ready. Not because I'm ready, we have to go through with it. And that's what Ruth and Boaz did. Ruth was ready, but Boaz needed to take care of some things first. They submitted to one another. So a spousal responsibility begins in being a responsible man and being a responsible woman before becoming a responsible husband and a responsible wife. Now, my friend, how does this transpire or transmit to you? Well, you see, the passage we just read talks about Christ being that responsible husband. to the bride, the church. And observe how it is that he has sanctified her to present her to himself. Well, the church is composed of penitent sinners. The church is composed of sinners who have repented and have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 teaches us this. But if you are not washed in the blood of the Lamb, then you are not yet made a new creation in Christ. Galatians chapter 5 verse 23. Thus to you, we encourage you to take his hand, accept his proposal, and let him sanctify you for himself. Because he wants to be a good husband to you. But you must be willing and ready to be part of the good and virtuous woman that is the church. Brother and sister, if you have not been faithful in your marriage to Christ, you have not been a responsible husband or wife to Christ. The beauty about a marriage is that there is always reconciliation. Because God does not accept divorce as the solution. And this is especially true when it comes to his relationship to his wife, the church. If you need to reconcile yourself with Christ, today is the day of salvation, as we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the hymn of invitation.